May I ask, do you people have a copy of what was here on my desk? The Ave Maria? Our present conference is the first of two on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The context in which these fruits of the Holy Spirit are revealed is in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. St. Paul is here speaking of how differently the evil spirit leads souls and how the evil spirit leads people. St. Paul is comparing the pagans with the just, recently baptized Christians. In the spirituality of St. Ignatius, at the heart of every Ignatian retreat, is a meditation on the two spirits, the evil spirit, Satan, and the Holy Spirit sent by Christ on Pentecost Sunday. Let me first read what St. Paul told the Galatians and is telling us. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he means any longer just the Jewish law. Beyond that, the law of Christ. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They are 16 works of the flesh inspired by the evil spirit. Immorality, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, enmities, contentions, jealousies, anger, quarrels, factions, parties, envies, murders, drunkenness, and carousings. When are we being told by St. Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are first being told we can recognize by what Spirit we are being moved. Whether the evil spirit or the Holy Spirit. These 16 call them fruits of the evil spirit. Our description of the world over the centuries, and with thundering emphasis, our own world today, who has abandoned Jesus Christ and his teachings. Our focus in the present and next meditation is on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But following St. Paul's guidance, we should first ask ourselves, and the Holy Spirit tells us, ask ourselves, what are the fruits of the evil spirit? Remember, in the vocabulary of the Catholic Church, fruit means satisfaction. No one does anything unless, well, to get satisfaction. And this is almost the history of the human race. When Christ speaks of the devil as the prince of this world, he means it. And again, when Jesus at the Last Supper declared, I pray not for the world, he meant the world animated by the evil spirit. And let's be honest. As our faith tells us, there are three principal sources of all the temptations in our lives. They are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world is the attractive, appealing, seductive behavior of sinners. Nobody would sin unless they got some satisfaction from sinning. Why do we choose to do anything? Well, to get the satisfaction from doing it. These 16 call them norms, are the way in which we can recognize the seductions of the world inspired by the prince of this world, the evil spirit. Go down the list. every single sin identified by the Holy Spirit through St. Paul, every one of these is rampant, rife, widespread, not just in the world. These 16 forms of behavior identify the world. And we are living in the world. But as Christ tells us, while living in the world, we are not to be of the world. This will be the only occasion during this retreat and we'll take the opportunity of warning all of us, beginning with the speaker, warning us against the seductions of the evil spirit, who is, I repeat, the prince of this world. I have mentioned and recommended reading St. Augustine's City of God, one of the great books of all times. Augustine compares what he calls the City of God, the Civitas Dei, with the City of Man, Civitas Hominis. And hear it. Even as Christ is the King of the City of God, so Satan is the King of the City of Man. And even as Christ has established his kingdom, in the Gospels, Christ's normal word for the church is not ecclesia, but basileia, kingdom. So Satan, I don't say has established, but uses his kingdom. And I'm quoting St. Augustine. And the kingdom that Satan uses and has been using over the millennia is the state. And we need to hear this at least once in our lives. Now the devil dominates one country after another to the state, which I repeat, was not created by the evil spirit. The civil laws are to be obeyed. Civil authority has a right to our obedience. But hear it. And whatever else you forget from this retreat, don't forget this. The laws of the state are not only not binding, they are forbidden to be obeyed when they contradict the laws of God. And, without dwelling on a vast subject, when in the 16th century the apostate priest and monk Martin Luther broke with the Catholic Church, he realized there must be some visible authority on earth, well, to govern people. Having rejected the Church, declaring that Christ never founded a visible institution called the Catholic Church, he substituted the state. How painfully true is what the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago told his fellow bishops last fall at their annual meeting. The foundations of the laws of the United States are Protestant. The state is the highest visible authority Americans have been brainwashed to believe. As you see, we have now touched on a subject that deserves at least 2 semesters of lectures in not just statecraft, but demonology. So much for the evil spirit, highly organized, profoundly intelligent, and allowed by God. I use the verb allowed by God to tempt human beings, but watch it. The devil's intention in tempting, of course, is to lead people away from God. But God's purpose in allowing the devil to tempt us is to make us stronger. Thank God for your temptations. Do you hear me? We need them. And that is why, I think it is the 6th time in this retreat, that I'm recommending a daily examination of conscience. You're all being, and I don't hesitate using the adverb, constantly tempted. Know your temptations. Assume that you have done wrong every single day of your life. Assume that. I may have told some of you, I know I've told people, if you're ready for bed at night and you cannot think of anything you've done wrong, I'm asking my guardian angel to tell your guardian angel to keep you awake. My dear fellow sinners, we're living in a real world. If there's one thing that the devil wants us to not just ignore, but deny, and even such a thing as sin, I needed to say, to wonder, I have heard of people going to confession. Can you imagine anybody so psychotic as going to confession every week. No wonder William James, I told you this, wrote the book on the great mystics of Christianity. Every one of them, in his judgment, in a 500-page book, every mystic was a psychotic. There are some that are so insane, they even go to confession every day. How crazy can you be? St. Paul continues. Concerning these, which he has just enumerated, I warn you, as I have warned you, that those who do such things will not attain the kingdom of God. All right. The list of 16 forms of sinful behavior identified by St. Paul, a neat list of the behavior of the world in our day. In our news media, glorify this, shall we still call it, misbehavior. Paul goes on. But I would say the most important adversative in any language. But, says Paul, after you have enumerated the fruits of the evil spirit, but the fruit of the spirit, and all capitalized, the fruits of the good spirit, and then his list: charity. Second, joy. Third, peace. Fourth, patience. Fifth, kindness. Sixth, goodness. Seventh, strange word, longanimity. Longanimity. Eighth, mildness. Ninth, faith. Tenth, modesty. 11th, continency. 12th, chastity. St. Paul continues. They who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires, and not coincidentally, these fruits of the Holy Spirit, though experienced and enjoyed in the soul, require mastery of our passions of the body. Then St. Paul closes. If we live by the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit, it has not become desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. For weeks before the retreat, I have thought I might devote the whole retreat to the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as you see, I decided not to. We'll go over these fruits of the Holy Spirit at greater length. We'll start in this meditation, and with God's grace, cover what we can in our closing meditation this evening. What are we being told, my God, through St. Paul? We're being told there are two mighty powers constantly at work in the world. The power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the evil spirit. Both the evil spirit and the good spirit have their purpose. The purpose of the evil spirit is to seduce us so we might join the evil spirit for all eternity in hell. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to inspire us to, well, follow the inspirations that He, the Holy Spirit, gives, so we might join Him in a heavenly, and not, shall I use the word, hellish eternity. How often have you heard in recent, I don't say months or even years, a single homily on hell? We are being constantly, on the one hand, seduced, on the other hand, attracted by two great powers. And the genius, first of the evil spirit, the genius is very simple. The devil knows we have a free will. The devil knows with that free will we can choose. And how crucially important these two monosyllables are. We can choose either what we want, or we can choose what we need. And the devil, having been doing this from the dawn of human history, he knows what we want. What else? He wants satisfaction. But satisfaction on our terms. Consequently, as we compare as we're doing, the instigations, that's the theological language, the instigations of the evil spirit in contrast with the inspirations of the good spirit. You must clearly and constantly keep separating, clearly knowing the difference between what I want and what I need. What do I need? I need what God wants. You're dealing with mystery. We're scratching on granite. You're trying to climb the Himalayas. No way that we can comprehend the mystery we're dealing with. The mystery of human freedom that has the awesome power of choosing what I want, even though what I want contradicts what God wants. That's what the devil did. That's how the evil spirit came into existence. Came into existence by choosing, shall we use the masculine gender, what he wanted, contrary to the will of God. And I keep repeating, whatever you do during these days of the retreat, we're coming close to the end. Not just during the retreat, but every day, in Rome we say ogni giorno, every day, I think it's the eighth time, examine your conscience. What choices have I made during the day? What choices have I made of what I wanted, even though my conscience told me they were contrary to the will of God? And as we said in our opening conference of the retreat, it is not enough, not today, to just choose what we must do. Choose even what is more pleasing to God, what the most demanding on your will, not because it's a sin, but hear it, the comparative degree more. The word more is of the heart of sanctity. Choosing more than you must do to avoid sin. But I don't like it. Oh, I want to say this. There was such a thing as enjoying what you don't like. I hope I'm making sense. Over the years, to distinguish the subtle but crucial difference between choosing to do what God wants and what we want, I've coined words like this. We all want satisfaction. But in my vocabulary, I distinguish two kinds of satisfaction: pleasure and happiness. The world dominated by the evil spirit is providing the human race with such pleasant satisfactions as had never been known in the history of mankind. And happiness is satisfaction indeed, but satisfaction that may, humanly speaking, be contrary to what I would myself want. In other words, if I'm going to be happy, I must cultivate the habit of choosing even what I don't like, what I don't want. Change the accent. What I don't want. Whatever you do before you leave, shall I say, these hallowed premises, find out, ask, O Lord, dear Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for the rest of my days here on earth? And then you can tell him, because, dear Lord, not only in eternity, but even in time, the only happiness I will have this side of heaven is in doing your will. Years in the priesthood have put me in contact with thousands of people. I've yet to meet, I'm sure never will, meet a happy sinner. And the devil has invented, with only his demonic genius, in all kinds of ways of satisfying the human will without providing happiness. Now, on the other side of the ledger, the good spirit. To practice charity, to have true joy, to experience real, honest to God peace, to practice patience. Remember the definition of patience: a voluntary acceptance of pain. How can I want, Father, please? That's at least be logical. Are you telling us that there is happiness in pain? Sure. And let me share this with you. The deepest pain is the contradiction of our will. plead with our Lord, beg him on bended knees, Lord, what do you, not I, what do you want me to do? Whether I like it or not, he has nothing to do with it. How costly or demanding or painful it may be, again, has zero meaning. I've been giving a retreat now for, 49 years. Thousands of souls have opened their hearts to this sinner. The secret of happiness, not just in the life to come, but already on earth, is to abandon one's own will. Oh, how that prayer of St. Ignatius is so crucially important. Suscipe Domine Universum Libertate Meam. Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty. And the key word is all my liberty. I'm going down the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Kindness. When are we tempted to be unkind? Obviously, when people are not kind to us. You mean we're supposed to be kind to unkind people? Well, that's impossible. You're right. That's what grace is all about. Remember, grace is that divine power which enables us to do the humanly impossible. I have a big 600-page manuscript, unpublished, all on divine grace. The Holy Spirit will reward you. You will experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, provided you do His will, and He'll provide you with that power which, humanly speaking, we don't have. Goodness. Oh, how good we are to good people. Now, people, pardon me, does God put bad people into our lives? Only God judges their guilt, but their behavior can be very bad. And that strange fruit of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Longanimity. It means perseverance. I like Father Faber's expression. There's such a thing as weariness in well-doing. Just to sin now and then to, break the monotony. The perseverance in doing God's will. Longanimity. Mildness. Only a strong person can be mild. In other words, restrain the strength that I've got under sometimes superhuman provocation. And hear it. The higher the degree of holiness to which God is calling us, the more provocative, unkind, nasty people you'll put into our lives. If you can, you might sometimes thank them. But don't tell them, thanks for your nastiness. This is part of God's providence. We need this. I'm not quoting books. I'm quoting from the book of my own life. Ninth gift of the Holy Spirit, faith. Can you imagine even keeping your sanity in today's world unless you had the true faith?